Jock Journal Radio. Jock Journal Radio brings you NFL Talk Late Night. Just two hardcore fans talking football after their kids have gone to bed, and they invite you to join our conversation. If there's a hot topic or even a cold topic, these chumps will be jawing it up every night. So leave those nudie sites alone and call us. And if you're lucky, they might give you my number. NFL Talk Late Night from Jock Journal Radio.
Everybody is excited to have you around. I'm glad to have everybody out there, Jock Stars, and we're watching a Thursday night football game. Everybody's thrilled. Everybody's pumped. So much energy as both teams are 10-10 coming out of the first half. It looks like it's going to be a really good game. But before we begin, I'm Nash.
And I'm Matt.
And you're listening to NFL Talk. Guys, we got a lot to go over, so let me go ahead and throw out the phone numbers, get you guys started. First off, if you want to be calling us tonight, it's 405-562-5463. We'll be taking calls all show long. Plus, we're going to have Javier Avalos of JockJournal.com with us, and he's going to be giving us live updates as things are occurring inside the Vikings and Arizona Cardinal game. Plus, we're going to be playing Shock the Jock, so get those cell phones out and get ready to text us at 77948. You type the word text, space, in your message. We're going to be doing Shock the Jock tonight, so it's a different question every night, and tonight's question is about to be discussed. As today, Matt, I went out to go get some pizzas, and I got to say, this new Papa Murphy's bacon pizza is absolutely a freaking godsend. It is so awesome. People are unaware of how actually awesome it is. It's really good. Have you tried it yet?
No. How is this different from Little Caesars bacon wrapped pizza?
Oh, Little Caesars is garbage, dude. Little Caesars is like the toilet paper of pizza. Papa Murphy's is a gourmet. You take and bake, you put it in your oven, it comes out nice, popping hot, and with really damn good ingredients.
Like everything else that we've discussed, have horrible taste in everything under the sun. So I just think that's pretty normal. It's par for the course. You have terrible taste in everything, and now you're proving it once again. So keep going.
And that's part of the thing we're going to be asking everybody tonight, guys. And the question that we're going to be discussing is what is your favorite food out there that you don't have to, like, put together or assemble? You could bring home for dinner for $20 or less. To me, it's that new Papa Murphy's bacon. You know what? I'm going to be calling them this weekend. I'm going to be like, hey guys, we want to put you on as a sponsor just to get a couple of extra bacon pizzas delivered to the, not delivered, but we'll pick them up. We'll cook these things out and we'll do a trade offer. So I'll be in the bacon, and Papa Murphy's will be happy, as we're going to continue to throw that name out all episode long. Don't tell me Little Caesars is your favorite for under $20. What is your favorite for under $20? Oh no,
Little Caesars deep dish pizza beats any other pizza hands down. I like Papa Murphy's. I'm a fan. Papa Murphy's can get really greasy, and you got to cook it right. And even when you do, it's pretty greasy. I'm a fan of Little Caesars is amazing. And clearly, you have no idea what you're talking about when it comes to pizza. So I'm not surprised.
From the 904, we already said Papa Murphy's is good. And so it looks like a lot of people are already on Nash Carey's bandwagon with this one.
Yeah,
and
one person. Nice bandwagon.
We'll see.
You got
we'll see.
Take, guys, that bandwagon.
Go ahead and text the show. Text us at 77948 and give us what you think is your number one under $20 bring home meal. It could be the cheap chicken at Albertsons. It could be a swing by KFC. It could even be the Chinese restaurant.
KFC is not under $20 anymore.
They got the
$20
dinner packet.
Dude, it's like 20 after everything's said and done, you're paying $25. You can't get – it's hard to find a meal under $20 nowadays. You remember when $20 used to last you for a while? I remember $20 was like, I got $20. I'm good for a couple days. $20, I'm done by lunch. That's it.
Well,
I on the way to work, I'm gone. $20 is just gone. I have maybe a dollar left for a soda or something. It just, I mean, $20 doesn't last as long as it used to. $100 definitely doesn't last as long as it used to.
Well, I'll tell you, you're right. $20 and $100 don't last as long as it did back when I was in high school in 1993. But it seems like everything is more expensive, and it is. And it's just the way of the economy. It's the way things are going these days. What are you going to do? There's not much you can do, really. So when you do have $20 in your pocket and you know it's your responsibility that night to bring home dinner, we're curious to know what is the options, guys. We want to hear from you. And if you guys have something that I feel was so good, because I'm going to be trying almost everybody's suggestions out, if you have an idea that's really, really good, you could end up with that $50 gift card. It'll be worth it to me. So go ahead, text us, 77948. Type the word text, space, and then whatever message you have out there, okay? Well,
this is a hands down. If it's any place, not just pizza, there is no better place than In-N-Out. Hands down, that's the winner every single time. In-N-Out Burger beats anything else, ever.
See, and I was actually having this discussion on Facebook today. I believe that Whataburger is actually better than In-N-Out Burger. But
oh, have you even had In-N-Out?
Yes, I have. We have one right down the road from here. In fact, when you come here day after tomorrow, you'll have an In-N-Out Burger actually like 3 blocks from your hotel.
That's perfect. I have one right down the street from my house, and it was the greatest day of my life. I went there, and I took a picture in front of it, and I laid down and kissed the ground in front of In-N-Out, and then I ate it, and it was amazing.
You ate out In-N-Out?
Definitely.
Interesting place to go over there, Matt. Well,
I would lick In-N-Out's ass. So just
okay, so go ahead and throw it out there, guys. We want to hear what you guys have to say, because there are a lot of people traveling. Matt's going to be traveling starting tomorrow, and he needs to know where to get his hookup, where to get his fill of good food for under $20 for the family. I'm sure.
I want to hear everyone's comments, but I don't. I'm a fat guy. I know where to eat all the time.
We'll see. I'm sure somebody could surprise us. Okay. So, guys, one more way to get a hold of us, and let me get that out there really quick. If you go to jockjournal.com, okay, /NFT, which is for our show, the football talk, okay, you can go right to that page, and there's a little comment area right there where you could just go ahead and type in a message, the city and the put your state in there, and we'll read those on the air for you. So just go on over to jockjournal.com/NFT. You can find our archives. You can listen to the show right there. All of it's just right there for you. And we're going to go ahead and bring in Javier Avalos of jockjournal.com, who says he has an update for us, as Arizona and Minnesota are still playing with 8 minutes and 31 seconds left to go in the third. Javier, go ahead.
Hi, guys. Yeah, Michael Floyd just scored a touchdown off the Minnesota Vikings. Yes. Turned the ball over. Adrian Peterson fumbled it in the middle of the field, and Arizona capitalized it. Minnesota,
yes.
10, Arizona 16.
What's yes. with this yes. team? Isn't yes. that 3 fumbles now already for the Vikings?
Yes.
Yeah, they came on the first half playing really well, but now they're kind of starting to falter. Arizona is Carson Palmer is definitely targeting Trey Wayne, the rookie who's in for Anton Exum because he was placed on IR this week. So he's definitely taking advantage of those matchups.
Yeah, that's not a favorable matchup. Thank you so much. Let us know if you got something else there, Javier.
Thanks, Javi.
We'll go, I guess, at this point to the news.
So these idiots are talking news now? Are they pulling this off of Jock Journal? So I guess this proves they can read. What a joke.
All right, guys, we're back, and it's time for some news. And the first thing on the agenda, from what I've seen, is Anquan Boldin had a nice quote about Blaine Gabbert, calling him a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, he did.
Is this the end of Colin Kaepernick? I think it is. I mean, I think at least in a San Francisco uniform, he's completely and totally toast.
Definitely. He was toast, I think, long before this. I feel like the bicep kiss is where it went downhill, but that's probably up for debate.
The article from Josh Alper from Pro Football Talk, syndicated on jockjournal.com, states Cardinals safety Tyrann Mathieu said recently that he thinks the 49ers are better off with Blaine Gabbert at quarterback than they were with Colin Kaepernick. 49ers wide receiver Anquan Boldin didn't make a comparison between the two quarterbacks on Thursday, but he thinks the team is in pretty good hands with Gabbert running the offense. During an appearance on NFL Network with Andrew Siliano, Boldin praised Gabbert's athleticism and arm while talking about his growth since arriving on the roster. He said, Blaine matured from having his struggles in Jacksonville, Boldin said. He's had time to sit back and really learn. I think him coming over here has been a blessing in disguise for not only him, but for us as well. You've seen him the last couple of weeks. He's playing lights out. Here's a question. Is this the quarterback of the future for the 49ers?
I think it is. Now, when I say future, I think the next couple seasons, they got a steal on him. What is he owed? Something like $2 million next year?
A base salary of $1.75.
If you get a starting quarterback in the NFL, especially in the rebuilding mode that this team's in, you cannot go wrong having a serviceable, decent, and he's playing better than serviceable. He's playing well. If he plays like this next year for $1.75 million, you have enough money to go get some other pieces and start doing some other things on that team, and I think that's a priority for them.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
It's a good business decision.
It is. It really is. However, one of the things that Blaine Gabbert has had some
games are going to be done by time.
I think we hear Javier's mic not on.
We do. That's great. Hopefully, what I want to hear, I'm waiting for someone to leave their mic on and like get fresh with their wife or something, right? And just forget it's on, and we'll just keep broadcasting right over it.
Yeah. The thing about Gabbert, right, is he's a strong-armed, hold the ball for a long period of time type of quarterback, and that can work for a while, but I don't see him having any more like a, you know, talent than say like a Colt McCoy or a Tavares Jackson. I see him as a B-level quarterback all the way through.
Come on, you're describing Carson Palmer, a strong-armed quarterback who takes the deep drop and stays in the pocket.
Yeah, well, of course, you know it's. This here is a case of a guy who's in the NFC West, though, who is going to have the pass rush from not only the Cardinals but the Seahawks and the Rams. You can't be a guy who holds that ball too long. In the 49ers just don't have the line.
Arizona's in that division, and he holds the ball for a long time. Why would this be any different? If they can sustain some sort of an offensive line that can give him some time, he should be just fine. To say it's just because of the pass rush, I don't think. If he's making bad decisions or he's making bad plays downfield, he's not throwing the ball away when he should, yeah, okay, that makes sense. But to say just because he holds the ball, there's a lot of quarterbacks that do that, and they're just fine. As long as their offensive line can give him a little bit of time, I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, well, and that's just it. I don't think that they can. I think that the level of the front sevens inside that division are just going to eat him alive. I think that you will probably see him go backwards next year. As right now, everybody's set on Colin Kaepernick being that team, and they don't have enough tape on him. Give it a couple of weeks, they'll have enough tape on him, and Gabbert will go back down to his 50-60 quarterback rating, and then all of a sudden be a bust once again like he was at Jacksonville.
I think he could be the next Carson Palmer.
Well, we'll see. I really doubt it.
Hey, everyone was writing him off when he was in Oakland. They were writing him off.
Yeah, they sure were.
And look what's happened to him. A change of scenery and a different plan, a different team, a different environment. 98% of what we do is mental and our attitude going into something. So if Blaine Gabbert has a change of scenery, Jacksonville just has turned into a hole for him. Those people just were just negative. The whole stadium. I mean, imagine having a whole stadium of negative energy pressing down upon you. That would suck. Now people have positive thoughts about him. They're getting him back into it. I think this has been great for him. And I think he starts in San Francisco next year and leads that team to a decent record.
We'll see. Only time will tell, as even if San Francisco has that kind of faith in him. If he can get past the free agency period, and if he can get past the draft without them looking like they're setting up for a new quarterback, then I'd say you're going to be spot on. But I just can't see that happening. I just can't. I see them not having that type of faith in him for a long-term answer. I just don't. However, a long-term answer for tight end has been found for the Cleveland Browns, as Gary Barnage just signed a brand new contract and will be with them for a pretty long time. The Browns announced this contract extension, and it was also on Jock Journal. You can find it through Josh Alper, who is of Pro Football Talk. The terms have not been disclosed at this point, but it looks like they're at least going to have him for 2016 and beyond. He's been a beast as their primary target in the middle of the field. Barnage has caught 60 passes, 817 yards, and 7 touchdowns. Holy cow. Where did he come from?
Who knows? You tell me, where did he come from?
You know, honestly, until about the middle of the season, I never even heard of Gary Barnage. And I'm just... I actually had to do a Google search to find out more about him, because I was like, where did he come from? He did play for the Carolina Panthers for a little while. He drafted in the 5th round of 2008 NFL draft. He's been one of those journeymen who just kind of bounced all over. You know,
nice, good for him.
Yeah, I mean, he's been in the league, 7 years now, and is now just like his career starting to take off. I think that's really good. He does have a good skill set. He reminds me a lot of a Mark Bravaro type of player. He's a physical tight end, uses his body to block people out, and he's got these like good hands that are good away from his body as well as they are good close to his body, so he can catch in traffic. However, he's just a par blocker, and he doesn't have good potential of running with the ball after he has it. He doesn't have that second speed. I think though he is going to be their tight end for at least 3 or 4 more years with this contract extension. Looks like 3 years now. I'm getting a little bit more information. It's 3 years extension worth around $12 million. So congratulations, guy. You finally got your contract. Yeah.
Yeah, he got the payday. And this is, you know, you got to feel bad for tight ends. It just goes to show you, tight ends are like 90% the scheme and the offense that they're playing in. A receiver can go to pretty much any team and get his looks if he's a decent receiver, a good receiver. A good tight end can get lost on a team easily. I mean, look at what just happened to Jordan Cameron, who was a beast there in Cleveland. Nothing. He's disappeared. Absolutely. The highest paid tight end in football is Charles Clay. He has a couple okay games, but again, he can get lost. You'll have games where you don't hear anything from him. So a tight end in the NFL is really hit or miss at all times. So this guy to make a name for himself, have a good season, and then get a payday, he could be lost next year. They could get a couple decent receivers, and this guy's nowhere to be found. But he got paid because he had a good season. He was the only option that they can go to, and he's really a good outlet, and that's awesome for him, and especially a guy who's worked that hard and been around the NFL for a while. To get paid and have some security is awesome.
You mentioned something I would like to even expand on further, because I think you're absolutely right. Tight ends don't get enough respect in the NFL. Not only are they a major part of the offensive system and reliant on that offensive system, but they have to be probably the best athletes on the field. Not only are they supposed to block like a lineman, but they need to have hands like a receiver and run like a receiver and break tackles like a running back. It's all of that is expected in one 255 to 265 pound guy. That's a hard thing to ask of anybody.
And even then, the scheme's got to be on your side.
Look at
Jimmy Graham, who a lot of people considered one of the better tight ends in football. He goes to Seattle. Nothing. He's got nothing because he doesn't fit the scheme that they're playing in. So if you're in the wrong scheme, you're gone. Good luck. Yeah. They don't even need you.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
You put a tight end on a different team, and Gary Brown is a great example. He's on a bunch of different teams prior to this, been in the league for a while, nothing. No one even heard of him. And then he goes to a team that it fits and he works well with, and all of a sudden he shows up and he gets they're looking at him in the red zone because he's the only person that can catch on that team. And, you know, he makes a name for himself. But there's probably a lot of tight ends out there that are really good that no one's ever heard of because they don't get touchdowns or they don't get all these numbers, and that's it.
You remember Julius Thomas before Peyton Manning came around? Nobody heard of him.
Nothing. And now no one knew who he was.
And now you don't know who he is again since he's gone over to Jacksonville. It's like it's like he does not fit the system that they're setting up for him. And you're right. What would Rob Gronkowski be if he were on, Tennessee? He'd be forgotten.
Yeah,
and I think
Scott Chandler. That's a good point. Scott Chandler is a great tight end and a really good athlete, and he was with Buffalo prior to this and did really good. But you wouldn't really know Scott Chandler. He had a couple really good seasons, but he's a great tight end. Even now on that team, he's a decent tight end. He can catch. He's a really smart guy. But who cares? No one really has heard of him because it's not tight end. Just isn't one of those positions that's flashy.
Well, now that he's got his payday, he definitely doesn't need to worry about doing things like asking Lloyd's of London to insure his hands, though J.J. Watt will be asking somebody to insure his body as he broke his left hand today in practice, but he's going to be playing. and just before we get to that fully, I want to say we also got another text from the text line, and this is a really good one, Matt. Five Guys Burgers and Fries. Great, great. Just regular food. Yep. It's good.
Right down the street. Yeah, Five Guys is pretty good.
I don't know if you heard about this. He broke his left hand in practice. They're just going to basically put him in a club, much like the JPP-type club, and have him out there playing this week. It's not a big deal. However, it is something to keep an eye on because this is a guy who, if you watched Hard Knocks, if you watched last year with his thigh bruise, this guy plays through a massive amount of injuries. It's like this guy just doesn't feel pain. And I got to applaud him on that. However, this is the kind of thing that if he does too much of, is going to shorten his career. I'd love to see J.J. Watt play for 15 years and break the NFL sack record. But if he keeps playing like this, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, I think you're right. But again, you got to respect that. I mean, he's such a fierce competitor. I don't think you could get him off the field. He's a young guy still. Their team with where they're at now still in contention. Of course he's not going to come off the field. You can't even expect him to.
No, you can't. He's
You should respect that after coming from a guy like Percy Harvin who gets breathed on and he's out. It's to be able to count on a guy even when they get hurt is a huge thing in the NFL.
Will the Patriots be able to rely on Gronk as he gets back to the field? He was on the practice field today with all these people in the New England Patriots organization saying yes. It's not sure whether or not he's going to play this weekend, but at least at this point, the other team that they're playing this week is going to have to pay attention because you have to prepare for Gronk. You have to prepare for Gronk. It just doesn't work any other way.
He's one that I would worry about more than someone like J.J. Watt. Have you seen what he plays? He's got that huge thing on his arm. He's probably going to have a huge thing on his arm. Pretty soon he's going to be playing in an exoskeleton.
You're right. He's 26 years old.
Brutal. Right? He's going to have like full leg braces, full arm braces. The guy's going to have armor on out there.
He's going to look like that guy Matt Damon from that one movie where he had that whole thing just hooked up to him.
Yeah, when he went to space.
Look like RoboCop or some shit like that. Yeah, it's going to be pretty ridiculous. We got the Patriots this week has dropped two in a row, and they're going to be playing the Texans. So we're going to have two banged up players, one with a bad hand and one being Gronk, back on the field. He says he's not going to be back until he's 100%, which I don't see him playing this week. But if he does play this week, do you see them keeping him at a pitch count, 30, 40 snaps?
I mean, I do, but they're never going to tell anyone that. This is classic Patriots football. Let's be honest. Even if Gronkowski were not even close to healthy, would they trot him out onto the field in a practice or two to say that he could play this weekend just so the other team has to think that Gronkowski might play? Of course. That's Patriots football number one. They might even have him active for the game and in on some plays just because then you got to have a guy on him. Even if he has no chance of catching the ball, you got to have a guy on him and then throw the ball somewhere else. They need someone to take up defender. So if you can get Gronk, if you can prop him up as best as you can and get him out there, that seems to me like something Belichick would do.
Yeah, he would make a perfect decoy. Arians did the same thing earlier this year when John Brown was not feeling good with a hamstring. Had him in there for like 22 plays, and the guy literally didn't even run down the field. He just stood there. And that just meant that somebody had to not go down and cover. Eventually, after he did it like 3 or 4 times, they ended up putting like a 4th-string cornerback on him and letting everybody else go out. And they realized that it was becoming ineffective and took him out of the game for the rest of the game. But that's the kind of thing that you're right. Good old Belichick, he'll find any way possible to toy with the opponent's mind at all costs. And I think Javier is going to be calling us here in a second. So let's go ahead and bring him on. Javier, what the heck just happened out there on the Minnesota Vikings-Arizona Cardinals game?
A big old touchdown by David Johnson, the Arizona Cardinals. He just plowed it in, ran right up the edge of the sideline and hit the pylon. I think it's going to stand up as a touchdown.
Yeah, that looked good to me. Only thing I worry about is that right leg possibly being down on the sideline before you hit the pylon. You see what I'm talking about in that slow motion replay?
Yep. It'll be interesting to see if they challenge it, but I'm not quite sure if they will.
Well, either way, they're moving. They'll be on the 1 yard line, and even if they don't have it, it looks like they're about to go up 24 to 10, and that's not looking good for the Minnesota Vikings now, who have lost what, 2? Now this might be 3 straight.
Yeah, this looks like a repeat of the Seattle game.
Oh, Javier, keep us posted. Let us know what's going on. Thank you, sir.
All right, guys. Bye.
And so this is this.
You know what this Cardinals team reminds me of? I'll jump in here real fast. Do you remember the? And I think everyone does. And this is one of my most hated teams of all time. Well, the '90s Lakers: Kobe Bryant, Shaq, Rick Fox, Robert Horry. Just, and I hated them so bad because I'm from the Northwest. I'm a Portland Trailblazers fan. That was just the worst. Up 15 points in game 7 of the, not the finals, but to go to the final, and just watching them drop it. And this is what reminded me of them. That team got better in the fourth quarter. It was like people were winded and they weren't even close to winded. They were meditating on the sideline, getting energy somehow. And Phil Jackson literally probably had energy crystals under the seats because they would get better in the fourth quarter and destroy people. It's like they would get a resurgent. And this Arizona team has had quite a few games this year where you're hanging with them in the first half. And then the second half comes and they're just continuing. I mean, it's like they just started the game. They're coming out playing just the same way they were and getting better as the game goes on. That's why this team is so dangerous.
Yes, they do very much bring 4 quarters of football. And the whole team has become mentally tough as well under Bruce Arians. It's, you know, football is not only a thing about being physically tough and knowing your X's and O's, knowing how to set up and everything, but it's also that physical tough or that mental toughness of being able to play all play long until the whistle is literally blown. Even if you're 25 yards away from where the ball is and the guy looks like he's going to get tackled, continue running at full speed, because if you don't, you might miss an opportunity because that guy might break a tackle and all of a sudden the ball might be on the ground and you might be the one picking it up if you're playing full out. And that's what that team is beginning to do. They're starting to create their own chances. It's pretty magical what's going on inside of Arizona right now. And it looks like the touchdown did not count. And they're going ahead and trying to pounce it in from the 1 yard line. on the first down.
They pass to Michael Floyd. Let's go.
They weren't able to put it in, and it is time for us to go to break. So let's go to break. We'll have a update from Javier when we come back, and we'll look forward to talking more about what's going on with Shock the Jock. And on top of that, we will be talking about Donald Trump when we return. Catch you soon.
Finally, can we take a moment and stop listening to these idiots long enough to get the Cars for Kids jungle stuck in my head?
Cars for Kids, donate your car today. 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS, K-A-R-S, Cars for Kids. 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS, donate your car today.
Also on the web at carsforkids.com. That's Cars with a K. We're a recognized 501c3 charity organization, so you'll receive a maximum tax deduction. What's more, you'll receive a free vacation voucher of 3 days and two nights.
1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS, K-A-R-S, Cars for Kids. 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS, donate your car today.
Hey guys, this is Matt with Nash and Matt, Late Night NFL Talk. I wanted to talk to you about something today. My biggest pet peeve is razor burn. I cannot stand when I very rarely shave because I keep a beard most of the time, but I have to shave underneath my neck there. And you know what the worst thing is? When it's itchy or dry or sore and I have to go to work looking like I have zits all over my neck. I hate that. That's my biggest pet peeve. And I didn't know what to do. Prior to that, I've tried using a bunch of different things. Well, this year, I was introduced to Robin Denio, and she's a skincare consultant with the doctors that created Proactiv. She introduced me to the Beyond the Shave skincare for men. It's easy. Step one, shave with unblemished sulfur wash to clear your giant pores and soften your hair for the razor. Step two, post-shave treatment is soothe-sensitive skin treatment to reduce irritation and razor burn. And step three, you protect the freshly shaven skin while fighting the signs of aging. It's called a redefined Triple Defense AM. And you know what? It's that simple. I don't ever have to go to work feeling that way again. I get a nice, clean shave. And afterward, I feel better than I ever have. So if that's something that you deal with and you want to fix it, go to jockjournal.com, click on her link, and pick some up for yourself.
Are you looking for the web's best sports news? Visit jockjournal.com. Sports media has lost its touch. It seems that journalists are scared to report what they see in fear of losing access to the teams they cover. At jockjournal.com, you get inside information on the entire NFL community without all the politics or fears other writers have. That's jockjournal.com. When you need the NFL sports news, information, opinions, fantasy football, or discussions, there is only one place to go, and it's jockjournal.com.
You are listening to Jock Journal Radio. News, opinion, and discussion for all you jock stars.
Hey, jock stars. I'm sure you guys have all had some sort of question at one point in time in your life that just didn't make sense. Well, the one that doesn't make sense is, why are anglers buying fishing shirts sold by hunting apparel companies? Ocean Vita is a true fishing apparel company focused on the coastal lifestyle. The clothing is designed specifically to handle the elements that anglers deal with on their fishing trips, such as staying dry, cool, and protected from the sun's harmful ultraviolet rays. Ocean Vita uses proven water-resistant technology, moisture-wicking fabrics, strategic air ventilation, and a high ultraviolet protection factor. All of the designs and color choices are reflective of the bright and relaxed coastal lifestyle. Order your Ocean Vita apparel today and use the Jock Journal Radio 20% off coupon, FishJock. That's right, FishJock. With no spaces, just one word, FishJock. Order online today at oceanvita.com. Vita is V-I-D-A. And get your 20% off before this sale ends. Stay dry and cool when you're reeling in your next big fish.
Support for this show comes from Material. Material is a simple and intuitive e-commerce platform that lets you get your online store started without paying a dime. That's right. No ads, no setup costs, no transaction fees. Experience a fresh and easy new way to sell online by signing up at Material.com today.
Okay, we're back. I had to surf porn and post my pics on an adult website.
All right, Jock Stars, I realize we just had about 30 seconds worth of dead air there, and I apologize, that was my fault, as we are still working out some of the difficulties. I need to go ahead and give my sponsor their commercial. So hang tight while I give you one more commercial that we're all waiting for, that OceanVita.com commercial. Why are anglers buying fishing shirts sold by hunting apparel companies? Ocean Vita is a true fishing apparel company focused on the coastal lifestyle. The clothing is designed specifically to handle the elements that anglers deal with on their fishing trips, such as staying dry, cool, and protected from the sun's ultraviolet rays. Ocean Vita uses proven water-resistant technology, moisture-wicking fabric, strategic air ventilation, and a high ultraviolet protection factor. All of the designs and color choices are reflective of a bright and relaxed coastal lifestyle. Order your Ocean Vita apparel today and use the Jock Journal Radio 20% off coupon FishJock. That's FishJock with no spaces. Just one word, FishJock. Order online today at OceanVita.com. Vita is V-I-D-A. And get your 20% off before this sale ends. Stay dry and cool when you're reeling in your next big fish. All right, guys. So let's talk about this game. Javier, that touchdown was called back. We're going to go ahead and bring Javier in. Explain exactly what happened on that goal line stand, Javier.
Well, you called it, Nash. Yeah, looks like the player's knee hit the pile, right knee, I believe, did hit the ground before they were able to send beyond the pylon. So it did come back. They eventually kicked the field goal. It is 20-10. Arizona taking the lead. Adrian Peterson he's really chugging along. He is playing with a lot of passion tonight, and you can tell he's just taking guys with him up for a ride when they try to tackle him.
At least that gives the Minnesota Vikings a little bit of hope right now. As you know, they are down currently 10 points. This drive will probably be a very big defining drive as to what happens in this game, wouldn't you say, Javi?
Oh, yeah. I think that, and you can tell just how it started. You had Cordell Patterson having a pretty impressive kick return where, again, just like Adrian Peterson, he took about three or four of the Arizona Cardinals to about the 35-yard line, I believe it was. And now you're seeing kind of the same from the whole team. Looks like they're getting back into this game.
Exactly.
I got a quick question for you. What happened to Cordell Patterson? Why isn't he on the field? We haven't heard anything from Stephon Diggs, especially the last couple of games. Nothing from Charles Johnson. Why aren't you getting Cordell Patterson out there on the field as a receiver? What'd he do? Why, is he not a good receiver? What's the problem?
You know, the thing with him is that he's been on the team for a long time. And, you know, as a really tall, big receiver, you think he'd have a lot of success in the NFL. But he just hasn't been able to produce. He's been kind of playing with injuries. He's had some problems in the locker room. And so, really, he hasn't been able to produce the last couple of years the way he did in his rookie season. But, you know, if he keeps performing like this on special teams, he's going to eventually earn himself another chance on offense. And I think he definitely should be out there at least on a couple snaps, either a fake reverse or something like that. But that's kind of why he's been on the sideline to start the year.
Yeah. Cordell Patterson also, I when I watch him run routes, it almost looks like the guy gets lost about his eighth step. Like he knows what to do early on in that first 10 yards, but after that, he seems to just get lost. I don't know what's wrong with the chemistry or what's going on there, but it looks like he's got all the talent in the world. He just hadn't seemed to put it all together.
Yeah, he seems
to really use his body. He's kind of one of those receivers that thinks, you know, I'm bigger, I'm faster, I'm stronger than everybody else. I think that that's going to be the thing that kind of carries him. But in the NFL, no one's too big, no one's too strong to really use their physical prowess alone to be successful, and that's, you hit exactly on that. He just doesn't put enough time into working on the chemistry, working on route running, or developing any sort of knowledge of how defenders act towards certain passes.
Yeah, but he's electric when he gets the ball in his hands. Why don't you design 10 plays that are just the you know, the step back little pass where he, two guys in front of him, receivers in a three bunch formation. He steps back, grabs the ball and goes. Why wouldn't you at least try something like that with the guy? I mean, it just seems like he's been in the doghouse since he got there, it seems like. And I just can't, why wouldn't you scheme a way to get him the ball? Because he seems like he's amazing when he has the ball in his hands.
Yeah, he is really good. He definitely can be electric. I think that's kind of on offensive coordinator Norv Turner, because really the only times that you see him on try to get the ball, sometimes he'll line up in the shotgun in the running back position. Sometimes they'll try those reverses or, you know, what they know as bubble passes, screen passes. And those are effective at some points. But beyond that, I don't think they really game plan to utilize him any further in the offense. And perhaps that's something they should give a second thought to.
Peyton Manning could make that guy into an all-star, I think. The way that Denver runs those bubble passes and screens, this guy would be a celebrity.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely could be. I mean, he did have a promising rookie season where he was just lighting defenses up. And then ever since then, he just has kind of stumbled a little bit. And he could have a future. I think they do need to give him another chance.
Well, guys, we're going to get to Donald Trump here in a second, because we got a Frank Caliendo take on Donald Trump that we want to share with everybody, because today Donald Trump ended up in NFL news as some Lions players were disappointed by his Muslim remarks. We're going to talk about that for a few moments, but if you do happen to get anything in that game, Javi, please let us know. We'll bring you back in and keep the rest of everybody else updated, okay?
All right, well, we'll do.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. So, Matt, I don't know if you saw it today, but two Lion Muslim players are disappointed by Donald Trump's remarks. But first off, I think it's important that we go ahead and throw this Frank Caliendo bit out there for people to hear his take on Donald Trump and what's wrong with sports. Matt, I went ahead and sent you that so that way you could follow along on your phone. So, everybody, enjoy.
Hello, America. It's me, the Donald. It's a tremendous honor to have me. You know, there's no doubt I will be the next president of the United States of America. And on my first day, I will do something truly important: fix all the sports. The NFL is a catastrophe of biblical proportions that I'm going to make profitable again. I'm definitely sure I will. No more extra points after touchdowns. We have to stop with the handouts, people. It's why Japan has been eating our lunch since the 80s. The NBA is a raging tire fire. I will add new rules so that players like DeAndre Jordan can't just back out of a verbal agreement and screw over a guy like Mark Cuban. We billionaires are tired of being treated like millionaires. Enough is enough. Major League Baseball is a dilapidated house no one wants to buy because it's haunted. But guess what? I ain't afraid of no ghost. All calls should be arbitrarily based on each player's patriotism. Best of luck, Yadier Molina. I would take the Green Monster at Fenway Park and make it twice as high to keep out all the Mexicans. And you know what? I'd make them pay for it, too. The Olympics are a dystopian tournament where underprivileged children are forced to fight to the death. But it's not as exciting as it sounds. And now I will pretend to care about hockey. There won't be a puck, we won't keep score, and it won't be called hockey anymore. Done. There. I just fixed all sports. You're welcome. You know what? I'm not ashamed to say it. My daughter's hot. Derek Jeter should date her, because I can't. In fact, I'd date Derek Jeter if I could. It's okay now. We could even get married. Actually, no. I'm told I'm supposed to hate that. I take that back. It's against my platform at the moment.
There it is, guys. Frank Caliendo as Donald Trump. I think it's safe to say at this point that the amount of Trump support has begun to dwindle and dwindle and dwindle more and more as days have gone on, even with things that have gone on in America recently, like shootings and such. But that's what I see. At least it seems that way to me. That's a completely different platform. But two Lions Muslim players are disappointed by Donald Trump's remarks. This is a story by Darren Gant of Pro Football Talk again, also fed on jockjournal.com. You can go ahead and read it there. But football players are conditioned to hearing offensive things said about them by opposing fans. Hearing it from a presidential candidate was another thing. Though Lions safety Isa Abdul-Qudus said Donald Trump's suggestions that the United States stop Muslim immigration was not necessarily a surprise to him. That's the scary part, he said, via Josh Katzstein of the Detroit News. I'm just hoping that either he can change his mindset to be a bit more open-minded, or people just realize we can't have this ignorance and offense. Now, typically, we're not a political channel. However, sometimes politics and sports do cross paths, and this is one of those cases where we have a presidential candidate who has made a lot of remarks that have come off as racist, prejudiced, narcissistic, argumentative, and in many cases, what people are considering to be ridiculous. However, there's another segment of America who is completely isolated and polarized in their isolation towards his agenda and believing that this kind of behavior is actually what America needs. And while I do agree that America has fallen off in its dominance, I think that this type of leadership is not indicative of what America or the NFL or many people are really looking for in a leader, in a commander in chief. This from a guy who lives in Austin, Texas, of all places, the hipster capital of the world, and a place that's never voted Republican in his entire life.
Carrie, my friend, so we are going back to the Wild West. And one of the other states where the sheriffs are calling for people to open carry. And we don't have to get into all of that politics and what we need to do. I'll speak specifically to this. Here's what saddens me about this story. That they're coming out. This is the first time, the first time I've heard someone come out and say, hey, you know, these situations that are happening in the United States and speak out, the Muslim part of the NFL. The sad part is that it's at a Republican presidential candidate and not at the fact that their brother Muslims are doing things atrocious like this, not just in the United States, but in other parts of the world. So why haven't I heard one of the Muslim NFL players come out and say, it saddens me that people who share the same faith as I do are not adhering to this faith and are acting in a certain way? Why haven't they come out and denounced the actions of other people that are associated with that religion? Why haven't they come out and say, this isn't what this religion's about? This isn't the way that we believe. No, they're coming out to say, I can't believe someone would not allow Muslims into this country. Why is that what they're denouncing? I think this is the root of the problem. If more Muslims stood up and denounced the behavior of other people within that same faith, maybe we, presidential candidate and the rest of America would feel differently about letting people into this country, because no one's doing that. There's not Muslims coming out denouncing what's being done. They're not saying anything. They're looking and saying, oh, how dare you be discriminatory against us? Well, maybe we wouldn't do that if you were denouncing the actions of other people within your faith that are doing this, but you're not doing that, are you? You're standing with them and you're saying the same things. I won't get on a high horse here, but it's sad that this is what they're coming out denouncing when the very people in their own faith are doing this and they haven't said one word about it. Why not?
See, and I think that's part of the problem here, Matt, is I think that there's too many people who want to go ahead and group this, the whole group of people, into one bucket, and they aren't.
Yes, until someone stands apart, I am going to group them into that bucket. Until some of them stand apart and denounce the actions of the – it's the same thing with the police. I think we have a problem with police in the United States over-policing and taking their job and stepping over that line. And my cousin is a police officer, and you know what I said to him? He said, I can't believe – because I post things about anti-police and about how police brutality is horrible. And you know what he said? This is sad that you believe this way. And I said, you know what's sad is that this is your fault for not standing up to this before it got to this point. You're a police officer. You're on the front lines. Why are you not standing up for something and saying that this is wrong? It's sad that I have to do it. It's sad that the rest of the world has to denounce what's going on within the Muslim religion when Muslims aren't doing it. Okay, you don't want anyone to say anything? Then handle it within your own. Get a grip on what's going on there and stand up and denounce it. But if you're not going to do that, then you're going to get lumped in with everyone else because your silence is condoning what's being done. That's the problem.
Well, and that's just it, is that so many people have done exactly what you're saying. It just doesn't get the same traction or media attention.
How about
Muhammad Ali? How about Will Smith? Today, they went on record today with a video that says, hey, look, we're not – I don't believe in violence. I don't believe in this kind of thing. I don't do this. But please don't call me a Muslim. I could be a Muslim, but don't call me a terrorist. Don't lump me into the same group of the radicals who are creating the problem, because if you start doing that and you start segregating people, we are no better than the Hitler situation that happened in 42. Are we going to start marking everybody with a Star of David? Is that what's going to happen eventually? Because that's what it's looking like, and that's what's freaking me out, is that we can't put everybody into that one simple thing. And Muhammad Ali is Muslim. He is absolutely Muslim.
Muhammad Ali is. Will Smith isn't.
I believe he is.
Will Smith's on so many sides of freaky. Have you even – I want you first, before you say one word, here one word comes out of Will Smith's mouth. Go look at the clothing line that his children started and then go listen to videos about what they believe in. Just so you can get a kind of a glimpse. And I'm not one to judge anyone on their beliefs, but he's definitely not Muslim.
Well, if he's – at this point, what Will Smith has to say is really irresolute. Look at the two people, the two Muslim Detroit Lions, one of which is Amir Abdullah, who simply said, we're not this. You know, in fact, Abdullah says it so much better than Trump does. Abdullah for president. All I do is encourage people to educate themselves before taking a stance, before just listening to someone, before making a judgment or a decision on how you should treat a person or talk to a person, Abdullah said.
And I totally agree with that. That's not what Donald Trump said either. Donald Trump said, we're not going to allow new Muslims coming into this country that are of fighting age. That's not anything wrong. And we're acting like this is the first time. You know, during the Iran-Contra or during the Iran when they took hostages, Jimmy Carter didn't allow Iranians into this country. No one's saying a word about that. And guess what happened during that time? There wasn't a big riot. We have Iranians in this country now. It didn't affect the course of United States history. It just kept people safe for a little while. It's not forever. It's just for now while this is going on. I don't know why everyone's making a big deal. And you know why? Because the liberal media has made a huge thing about this. And one of my biggest pet peeves is that they turn this into, oh, they're comparing him with Nazis. I even heard this tweet, and you probably saw it. Replace Jew. Replace Muslim with Jew and see if you don't sound like a Nazi. No. And someone, you know, very close to very educated within this system put out there again this. There has been an alarming number of terrorist attacks committed by Jews. No, it doesn't sound the same. I'm sorry. It just doesn't. Why? Because that never happened. So it's not even close to the same thing. But this is the level and the way that they're going to go to stoop to something like this, to start comparing him to a Nazi just because he made a statement that other presidents in the past have done. It doesn't make any sense. And it's just the biased media continuing to slander someone and make it sound worse than it is because they think that we're not being fair to all people. It's about time we're not fair to all people.
Well, I don't think that that's the principles or the ideas that America was founded on. We do have an update from Javier Avalos. Javier, go ahead and give us an update. We only have 5 minutes left to the show.
You guys, I got to say, I'm loving what you guys – this is awesome. I just got to say that, first of all. But anyway, the Minnesota Vikings are driving, and we had an Aaron Rodgers face mask-like moment, just like in that Detroit game happened to Teddy Bridgewater. It was a big no call, and it just goes to show you that Teddy Bridgewater does not get the same respect that Aaron Rodgers does. But he's looking good. But he's looking good as far as this game. They're driving. Stephon Diggs just had a pretty big catch and run in the last play, and it looks like the Vikings are at about the 34-yard line right now, and they're looking pretty good.
Very nice. Okay,
Minnesota doesn't get any of the calls. He's right. I got it. After the Seattle game, it's like they don't get any calls at all.
Yeah, last week was kind of a miserable situation for the poor Vikings.
They're definitely the Muslims of the NFL.
Guys, it's the truth is that we can't, regardless of what you believe on a political agenda, I believe what these guys are saying about Donald Trump's remarks is spot on, because we can't start behaving and changing the way we treat America based on what terrorists are doing or terrorists are actually winning and they're taking that point. And they're making us live in a point of fear and changing our game plan based on what they're doing. We want to be successful. We don't elect somebody like Donald Trump and allow him to create that fascist regime against anybody across the United States or the world.
Study what fascism is before. Read some George Orwell and study what fascism is before you would ever bring something like that up. Study what it is and before you elect someone in that wants to do some sort of social program and make government even bigger and take away more of your rights that you already have. You really want to protect yourself? Go get a concealed carry permit. Carry a gun with you so that you're the first line of defense. Listen to the people that are giving people advice. And you want to talk about what America was based on? America was based on escaping persecution and someone telling them what to do, big government telling them what to do so that they could do whatever they want. And that's what someone like Trump stands for, is making us back to what we started as. Getting us back to us having our rights and our freedoms, being able to have a living wage out there, being able to make a decent income so that we can increase the middle class again. And that's something that's been so lost in this desire to give everyone an equal shot through giving handouts from the government and continuing to have a bigger government that takes away your rights, decides what your schools tell your children, and continue to warp history. So if you want to make the right choice, you will go out and make a difference and start taking care of your own education and educating yourself on what made America great, on the history of this country, and then helping someone get in office who can change that.
Okay. And my final thought on that, since you've had such a keen time of jumping in on whatever I was saying, is that you can make all the thoughts that you want regarding Trump and his stance inside of America, and you can have your own political beliefs and political what have yous. However, it is a completely and totally 150% a altruism that he is making a great deal many people angry, and not only with his American policy but his foreign policy. And when you start doing that, you start drawing the attention of a lot of the rest of the world, and if we have that as a leader, we put ourselves in danger, because that is incapable of any sort of diplomatic anything.
How much more danger can we be in?
A great deal. We're only allowed to live right now in America, period, because somebody has not come in and taken over. And that will happen if somebody like Trump is in office. Okay. We don't have enough time to get into this. And with that, I'm Nash.
Stop. And I'm Matt.
And you're listening to NFL Talk. Have a nice night, guys.
That was NFL Talk Late Night from Jock Journal with the biggest morons in the country. If you aren't asleep already, it might be time to get to bed. However, I'm sure most of you are still looking for me on AshleyMadison.com.